IVM.
Hello, welcome. You're listening to a brand new episode of The Millennial Athlete with Tanvi and Shlok, a podcast of, for and by the millennials. I'm your host, Shlok Ramchandran.
And I'm co-host Tanvi Lad. Welcome back, guys, to part two of Who Makes the Cut as a Millennial Champ. We're still in conversation with sports journalist Abhijeet Kulkarni. And our first conversation about badminton kind of lasted 1 hour, Shlok.
Yes, it could have actually gone for 2 hours. I think Abhijeet sir would agree with me on that. We could have gone on and on, like our telephone conversations. But we had to cut it at some point. So sorry to all of those juniors who we missed out. But we were kind of on a time leash. But Tanvi, let's, enough of badminton. You know, everybody, all of our listeners only think that we only know about badminton. So let's broaden our horizons today.
Sure. So I think, let's for a change pick up a sport that India has been doing well at and is hopeful of a decent medal tally at the upcoming Olympics. Let's move to shooting.
Yeah, shooting is a great choice. Abhijeet, we know Saurabh Chaudhary and Mannu Bhakar have been doing well for a very long time. I won't count them in the next gen athletes because they are already there. Any other names right out there you would like to put out?
There are quite a few names. If you see the way shooting nationals happens, like we speak about 1100, 1200 kids coming for the badminton nationals and we are very happy. Sometimes just the 10-meter air rifle men's event has 800 entries in shooting. And it's a crazy, we don't get to watch a lot of shooting because it's a very not a TV friendly or a spectator friendly sport. But shooting is huge in India. Like the number of players playing shooting is huge. And there are 16, 17 year olds who come shoot almost a world record score and go back. The problem is the consistency. And that is where Mannu Bhakar and Saurabh Chaudhary have been excellent, where they have been consistent every tournament. But there is a big crop like Ella Varin, who is the world number one right now in 10 meters and was picked ahead of Anjum Modgil for the Olympic team. Then there's a Mehuli Ghosh who was shooting brilliantly before the lockdown started. Then she struggled. So in girls 10 meter rifles, we have that. Then there is a Aishwarya Pratap Singh and a Divyansh who are really good in 10 meters air rifle. Divyansh has actually made the Olympic team in 10 meters air rifle, while Aishwarya has made the team in the 50 meters three position. Okay. So there's a big crop. Then there are shooters like Anish Bhanwala, who did not make, or Yashaswini Deswal, who did not make the team, but they are excellent shooters.
Coming back on that point, historically, most of the shooters in India have come from the northern region. But here we are talking about Ella Vinil. From Cuddalore in Tamil Nadu. Has Tamil Nadu produced any shooters in the past, in your experience?
No, it's not consistently big name shooters, but there have been shooters. Even from Kerala, there have been some good shooters. It's not the case that we don't have shooters. The problem is the talent is so good. And so Maharashtra, you missed out. We had about a whole team from Maharashtra at one time in 10 meters air rifle. From 2000 to 2008, a Maharashtra player would represent India in a 10 meter air rifle Olympics. So everywhere there have been a lot of players. Now, naming name, yes, Tamil Nadu didn't make those big names to an extent. But then I don't know whether Gujarat will claim Ella more than Tamil Nadu because she is a product of the Gagan Narang Center in Ahmedabad.
Yeah. But I mean, speaking of, the contingent for this upcoming Olympics, there was quite a bit of controversy about, the selection criteria because a couple of shooters had qualified as per the selection criteria, selection policy, and then, those who weren't being considered actually went on to do well at the World Cup in Delhi. So
I don't know. Means shooting federation has always been consistent with this, that the quota belongs to the government, to the country. And last time Sanjeev Rajput missed out. Before that, I think there was one more guy in 10 meters air rifle who had missed out for Abhinav Bindra and Gagan Narang. This time Chinki Yadav misses out.
Yeah, because
they thought Manu Bakker is a better option than Chinki Yadav, though Chinki Yadav has taken a quota. So yes, you can, like, it's a policy that the Federation has made and they are sticking to it. And it is based on the consistency. They do give you one bonus point for achieving the quota. And clearing that one point is quite a huge task. So Manu Bakker is that way, way ahead of Chinki Yadav in terms of consistency. So they have gone with Manu Bakker.
Absolutely. And we have Manu Bakker, competing in three events. So hopefully she manages the load well, and is able to podium in all three. Let's hope for the best.
I mean, also let's look back at Ella Vanille's last season. Obviously, she had the two World Junior Championships gold medal also. In the 2019 ISSF World Cup Finals, she hit a 251.7.
Yeah.
That is a really good score. And, if she could do that consistently, maybe, Abhijit, a medal of any color? I mean, she's above Apurvi Chandela now, for sure. I mean, in the pecking order, she's been playing catch-up to Apurvi Chandela for a while, but I think she is now the number one Indian in her event, and she's overtaken Apurvi Chandela.
Yes, but I'll say this, having covered shooting for a long time and known most of these players during their period, because like Apurvi was a junior when I worked with her at Lakshya. Rahi was a junior when I worked with her at Lakshya. So I'll tell you something. It's the shooting is not just about technique. Shooting is a lot about being relaxed there. So first Olympics, how are you going to react? And with this new system, which is a decimal system, just two shots can make a difference.
Yeah.
True.
Of making it to the final also. Like you may not just make it to the final because you did not hit a 10 point something in two shots. Yeah. So I think it's better not to put pressure on Ella. Let her enjoy herself. If she gives her best, she is definitely a medal best.
What do you think are her strengths and weaknesses which she needs to watch out for? We know her strength, but any threats as any weaknesses you think apart from the nerves?
See, whatever my interaction with her has been, she's a very chilled out girl. She loves to enjoy herself. She likes to do things and she likes to experiment. But at the Olympics, it's not going to be about experimentation. It's going to be about being steady. She's a fast shooter, which is good. Because if you're a slow shooter and you take time, then you start wondering if something goes wrong. So she's a fast shooter in that sense. So she doesn't take much time between shots. But I think her age and the lack of experience is going to be her biggest challenge.
Yeah, true. What about Mehuli Ghosh? Not a lot has been said about her in the media. I don't think our listeners also know a lot about Mehuli Ghosh. She's kind of slipped under the radar. What do you feel about her in the next couple of seasons?
She should come back because I think she changed her technique. She started working on her technique because what happens in shooting and especially air rifle is once you hit that 15, 16 years old age and you have that growth spurt, your technique changes completely because earlier you are holding the rifle in a certain way because the target is slightly higher than your eye line, then it starts going down. So you need to keep changing your technique. So this is a period which a lot of air rifle shooters go through between when that growth spurt happens. So let's give her a couple of years, maybe 6 months, 8 months, she should be back.
And we hope for that. Tanvi, let's move on to our next sport, which is your choice of next sport. Would you like to talk about?
My choice of next sport should be the one sport that I think ranks slightly higher than badminton. Obviously, tennis.
I don't think in India it ranks behind badminton.
I'm saying purely from an interest and love of sport point of view. I think tennis
please don't start about Rafa Nadal, please. Let's just stick to Indian tennis for today.
I'm not going down that rabbit hole. It'll be another episode on Rafa. So, but yeah, coming to tennis, you know, in India, Abhijit, what does the scene look like? We've of course had the likes of Sania Mirza. Ankita Raina has been doing fabulously well. She took a set off Ostapenko and she is in great form. She's won a WTA title and probably is India's hope for partnering Sania Mirza at the Olympics. But behind her, do we have a lineup? What's the scene like?
I think if you talk to the Federation, they'll give you 15 names. All of whom do brilliantly at the junior level. The way Federation plans it, they play so many junior events that they are burnt out. The bodies never get built for the senior level. Ankita was different. Ankita was crazily dedicated and a single-minded player. But it took her 5 years to make the transition from junior to senior. If you ask me, in women especially, there were only two players who gave that confidence that they could actually step into the shoes of Sania Mirza in terms of singles. Rutuja Bhosle and Karman Kaur Thandi. Both tall girls, both could hit well, both could serve well. Rutuja went to US because she couldn't afford playing the circuit for a graduation program, had a bad shoulder injury, and still finding her way. Same with Karman Kaur Thandi. She plays 6 months. She's injured 6 months. So I'm not really sure how much we can bank on them. Men, we have Sumit Nagal, who's doing well. Then we had a couple of players before him, Ram Kumar, Ramnath, and all. But again, making it to the top 100 is not going to be easy for.
Yep. I think the one area that we've all seen tennis players struggle with is primarily their fitness levels and the strength and power and endurance to actually play those long matches, which is why a majority of them do, you know, play a lot in Europe, or they, you know, they're attached to a German or club. And what is it that still is missing? I mean, when we look at the world scenario.
I'll give you a simple example. At the under-16 level, there was one Asian Open event where Rutuja Bhosle beat Donna Vekic, who is now in the top 100, in the finals. 2 years later, when there was the 125,000 in Pune which was being held, Rutuja Bhosle was still a junior where her coach wanted her to play a junior event rather than playing this event, while Donna Vekic had already arrived on the senior scene. Circuit. There's a, like I said, we burn out our players on junior. We don't work on their strength building and all that. Plus, I have my doubts about the coaching abilities of Indian coaches when it comes to world tennis. That is why most of the tennis players go out. Like one of the very famous coach, and even I had spoken to Tin Hanuman once, he said, you need to learn tennis on a clay court. Simply because it's hard to earn points, then you tactically start playing better and longer. Most of our players play on hard court because it's easy at a young age. If you are slightly better, you keep winning. I think we need to change the approach of teaching tennis in India.
Do we have enough clay courts in India though?
Not many.
Yeah, I think a good way to start is infrastructure and get some more clay courts.
And it's cheaper to have clay courts. But it is difficult to maintain. So,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Ankita did spend some time at the Djokovic Center, you know, training on clay. And I mean, things are opening up. We're seeing players take matters into their
hands. It's quite costly also. Like,
it's quite expensive.
The French, the Murgutla, like 2014-15 would charge you 22,000 euros, 2,200 euros for a week. So how many people are going to afford it?
Afford it, yeah. True.
Also, the difference is that shooting is still a very federation dominated and badminton is still a very federation dominated sport, whereas tennis is a very pro sport. The only tournament you play is the Davis and the Fed Cup. Apart from that, you're on your own. You get your money directly from ATP. So also there are the chances that you might get a private sponsor, but only if you play the first rounds at all Grand Slams, only then you have the money to take your entourage together.
Yes.
I remember Sumit Nagal, when he went and he won a tournament in South America, he didn't even have a physio with him.
Yeah.
And now, because he's made a couple of Grand Slam first rounds, he's got $60,000 in his pocket, now he can carry his entourage. So I think the breaking point is playing the first round at the Grand Slam, so you get in the money, and then I think the circle kind of completes. But till then, it is.
But to reach that struggle. Level, your annual budget is about 55 to 60 lakh rupees, which is quite high. Whereas in badminton, with federation, even if you are going to play on your own, your cost is not more than 10 to 12 lakh rupees a year, because you are in a camp where your training is taken care of, or something is taken care of. In tennis, none of that is done.
That's true.
Yeah, but the prize money also comes directly to the prize, and it's much more higher.
It is 100x.
Also, that is a topic which we would talk about later in badminton. Moving on from tennis to table tennis, there's one name which is on everybody's mind, and he's not been talked about more. It has to be Manav Thakkar. He is so good. I've seen videos. Sharad speaks very highly of him. Satyan speaks very highly of him. World number one in under 21. I think he's also going to be playing for a German club in the next season. Abhijit, what next for Manav? Where do you see him transition now? And what do you think he needs to do to, you know, get into that top 30?
I think he just needs to learn from Satyan. Manav Thakkar is a really intelligent player. Quick player, but if you see Manav Thakkar, he is really lean and needs to put on a lot of muscle.
Very lean.
So Satyan really transformed a lot when he moved to Germany and all that, started playing more aggressively, bulked up. I think Manav Thakkar has everything in his game. Ultimately, table tennis looks a very relaxed sport, a more of a party sport, but it is a very physically demanding. And it is all about speed. So Manav Thakkar has to work on that a lot. And he is working that a lot. But again, like I said, it will depend on how good a support team he has, how much planning the support team does. For him to go to the top quickly, he will reach there eventually, but I just think, having spoken to Manav, I think he will want to reach there faster. Otherwise, you have a Sharad who is still playing, who took his time because he learned, unlearned, and reached there. I hope Manav takes that Satyan route, learns faster.
True. I think, apart from his physique is something which he needs to definitely work on, because he's got quick hands, like Abhijit said. I hope his stint at Hamburg, you know, does him well, and he actually comes out of his shell and really starts making the top 30. Another very interesting name, Archana Kamath, not as successful as Manav Thakkar yet, world number 2 in under 21, but the big question mark is the fitness, isn't it?
Yeah, again the same thing, because like I said, when you're too good at the juniors, sometimes it's easy to fall prey to that idea that you have arrived.
Yeah, true.
But
what does she need to do in general?
A really intelligent player. She just needs to keep consistently playing. Like, I think there are two names, Archana Kamath and Diya Chitale. The big difference...
Isn't Diya Chitale younger?
Yeah, she's younger. Yeah. She's about 3 years younger. But the big difference in their approach has been Archana Kamath kept on playing in India, going out something. Diya Chitale's parents started to invest when Diya Chitale was 11, 12, sent her to Germany. And she doesn't alone go to Germany. Her India coach also goes with her to Germany.
Oh, wow.
Who is Sanil Shetty's elder brother. And her trainer also goes for 2 months to Germany. So they learn all that. And when she's back in India, the team continues to work in the same way as she works there. It's a huge investment.
I mean, she's lucky that she's got the kind of sponsors, or she's got the kind of money to actually do that. Because that's expensive, right?
Yeah, it's expensive. So her father actually had a business. He, I think, completely looks after the daughter now. Works with 11 sports so that even the federation helps you as a part-time, gets involved in her game. But not her game, only the planning, while everything else is left to the coach and the trainer.
Anybody else which we are missing out from the boys section?
There are a couple of names, but yeah, it will take some time for them to make a mark.
I mean, a good role model for this entire junior lot, like you mentioned, is Satyan. You know, he was it's actually very heartening to see an Indian having taken his career literally in his own hands, because going out there, playing the Japanese league, exposing yourself to real, you know, tough competition. He's imported a robo to, like we have a multi-feed, basically, you know, something that keeps, a robo that keeps challenging you, your speed and your reflexes. So he's really gone out of his way to improve, and the results are there to see. So I think our juniors need to be proactive. Facilities are available and role models are there to emulate.
I think the big major change is that funds are available. There are NGOs and even the government willing to help you. A few years back when Sharat went on his own, it was a challenge. Now funds are also available. So.
And Sharat went with his whole family also, right? Sharat shifted the whole family, and that was like a big change for him. In one of our earlier episodes, he told how big of a change it was for Sharat. But I think what Satyan has done, I mean, we can't stress enough about it, is that he's actually changed a lot. And I think he's a really good role model for Manav, as you said, like somebody who's learned the ropes so quickly. And I mean, if all goes well, I'm hoping for a good performance at the Tokyo from him.
Yeah, I think I'm hoping for him and also the men's group. Satyan is, yes, playing really well. Olympics, I think, is still something which I am not really sure about Satyan, because it's going to be a tough task, especially now that they are not training enough.
Mm.
With this whole
especially
lockdown.
If it's in Japan.
Yeah. Because Japan, Chinese, they have players of the same level to train with. These guys don't have. True, they are struggling. True. The table tennis team is really struggling.
Yeah.
I hope more from Manika Batra and Sharat, if they can get a push in for a medal at the mix, because they have won an Asian Games medal, which means
they're up there.
They can challenge.
If they've got an Asian Games medal, then they can definitely do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, hopeful signs from the Indian TT contingent. I think we should take our first break. And we can talk about the rest of the sports, including the golden boy of swimming. We will tell about him later. Stay tuned, guys. You're listening to The Millennial Athlete with Tanvi and Shlok. We'll be right back.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another week on the IVM Podcasting Network. If you're not following us on social media, please do. We're IVM Podcast on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. I would like to thank the sponsors of the network this week, Cred, Ciet, and PayPal. Thank you so much. You make everything possible. Before I recommend a couple of episodes, I just wanted to quickly talk a little bit about Ankush Champaneerkar. Ankush was a team member who we lost due to COVID-related complications. He was a really fun guy, and I wish I knew him better than I got to know him in the short time he was with us. But I hope that you can remember him in your thoughts and prayers. Also, quick reminder about Pod for Change, the initiative set up by the podcasting community, along with Give India, the NGO partner. You can go to tinyurl.com/podforchangeindia, and I'm sure that it would be much appreciated any donations that you could give. With that, let me quickly give you a couple of highlights from this week. Aditi Mittal was on Cyrus Says. Great episode. Do check that out. On The Habit Coach, Ashton talks about using the word impossible and suggests some better alternatives. On Advertising is Dead, Varun was joined by Harsh Lal, the co-founder of The Soul Store. On This Round is on Me, Gauri talks to Pankit Desai, who is the co-founder and CEO of Secure Tech. And finally, I'd like to mention that we have a new show called Tere Mere Raste, hosted by Keshav Chaturvedi. This time it's a trip to the beautiful blue city of Jodhpur, but every week he's going to tell you about his travels as a photographer. It's really well put together, really well done. I couldn't be more excited about the show. Please do definitely check that out. And with that, let me get you back to your show.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Millennial Athlete with Tanvi and Shlok. We still have sports journalist Abhijit Kulkarni with us. Okay, guys, moving on to, apart from racket sports, let's not do rackets first. Let's talk about swimming. Only one name in swimming, I think. Unanimously, if we agree.
Not really. Like I'll give you other names. But yes, Srihari Natarajan is really well and ahead of everybody. Like 8 years back, there was Veerdhawan Khade, then there was Sandeep Sejwal, and now Srihari.
And both of them are kind of mentoring Srihari Natraj, which is very good to see. I mean, Sandeep Sejwal is also traveling with Srihari for a lot of tournaments.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. You have to look after each other.
Yeah, true. But the competition is so high, right? He still got some way to, you know, come close to qualifying for the Olympics. Do you see him? Or maybe it's a step too far for now, and maybe 22 Asian Games and Commonwealth Games is a much more realistic step?
I think he has a B qualification. And if India is going to get one place, India needs to send him. Last time we sent Sajan Prakash out of the blue. I think it's better to send Srihari Natraj if you really want to give him exposure.
True. And there is a lot of backing to Srihari from the federation also. I remember seeing an article where he was sent to Dubai also to train during the lockdown.
I think there is a lot of backing for every sport now. Like, let's be frank, the sports ministry is willing to pay. Like, not Srihari, but there is another group of swimmers like Aryan Makhija, Aryan Nehra, Advait Page, then Kushagra Rawat. Some of them were stationed in South Africa for a year through the JSW scholarship to train. The good part is all of them are really, really huge, big. The thing is, Veer Dhawal, Sandeep Sejwal succeeded because they had the body. They had that height and built, which is a big thing in swimming. It's just not about technique. You need to have the physique to be a quick swimmer. I think so. All of them have it. They have got the support. Like, even the sports ministry is putting a lot of money in them, getting foreign coaches to work with them. So yes, swimming is on the upside. But again, I really don't know how many of them will move to US. There has been a whole batch before them who were good swimmers. They suddenly moved to the US university system and stopped playing. Because career-wise, you need to see a career in the sport. Otherwise, then you move on.
Yeah, that's the sad situation, I mean.
Yeah. Realistically, do you think that there is a career in swimming?
As of now? If you want to make money, no. Not in Indian swimming.
Yeah, it's a difficult spot for... I mean, we can be harsh on them saying that, you know, they didn't like continue to practice over there, but you also got to look after of, you know, what's going to happen in the next couple of years. So I think I feel for the swimmers there.
Advait Page has already moved to Florida. He says he's doing it for swimming, but I'm not sure.
Okay, so I think we are at a standstill at swimming. But let's talk about a sport where we've had a lot of upcoming athletes, boxing. Amit Pangal is doing fantastically well. Wasn't the prodigy like Shiva Thapa, Amit Pangal, but with age and maturity, he kind of grew?
Yes, there are a lot. Like, I will give a lot of credit to the Boxing Federation. The way the camps are being operated, then there are two foreign boxing coaches. Earlier, there used to be a B.I. Fernandez, a Cuban who brought boxing where Vijender and all came up. Now there is Santiago Nivia. These guys are really working on the technical aspect of Indian boxing. And the real problem with boxing or wrestling as a sport is that when we are speaking about exposure, you get one or two tournaments in the whole year.
True.
Because a country can send just one entry. So while we remember Amit Pangal because he has won medals, there are players who have come, played well, gone out. There's a Manish Kaushik. Then there was the guy who won a Commonwealth medal. I don't remember his name. I'll tell you. There are names. There is Lovlina in women's junior. But
Ashish Kumar.
Then Ashish Kumar. Just
Nikhat Zareen, right?
Nikhat
the whole
controversy
with Mary Kom. Yeah.
Yeah. So see the Nikhat Zareen case.
Yeah.
World
yeah.
junior.
Yeah.
World
yeah.
medalist. Doesn't get into the team because there is a Mary Kom there.
Yeah. Has to fight the press, fight everything. To even be given a selection trial. So,
yeah. So that is the challenge with wrestling or boxing, where if you have a senior who is good, you hardly get a chance.
Yep. That's unfortunate.
Yeah. But don't you think that's the scene in most sports? I mean, as a badminton player, I just resonated with that sentence.
Yeah, but you can go at least at your own cost.
Yeah, that is true.
True.
Yeah.
They don't get an entry only to play. Yeah, you don't get an
in
entry.
Boxing, you cannot do that.
You can't do that. Yeah.
Only one entry per nation.
Yeah, I also do. Maybe that is why. I mean, I don't know the number of boxers who actually gone pro, but if they do go pro, they leave behind the Olympic dream also.
Yeah.
So they'll get to fight a bit more and maybe earn some money. But on the other hand, they lose their Olympic dream and the funding from the federation. There was, I think there's a boxer very recently who went pro. I can't seem to recall his name, but he had to leave his Olympic dream and now I think he's doing fairly okay.
He came back.
Oh, he's back? I forgot who's this.
You were speaking about Chota Tyson.
Yes, that. Chota Tyson. Yeah, Shiva Thapa.
Not Shiva Thapa. I'll tell you the name. Vikas Krishnan.
Oh, Vikas Krishnan. Yeah, Vikas Krishnan. He went pro and I think now he's back into...
He has qualified for the Olympics.
Oh, he's qualified for the Olympics also. So,
yeah.
So there are a lot of players who wanted to do it for the money. But now Vikas Krishnan is also back. Another prodigy, right? Vikas Krishnan, right from... He was 18, 19 was supposed to be the next big thing. But again, so many boxers
a
in
huge
his category.
Controversy when he lost the quarterfinals in 2012. Yes. Otherwise, expected to win a medal
over there. Any other names you need to add there as a youngster looking out, 17, 18 year old, whom you think can make a mark?
No, because boxing is not like that. The way the boxing system right now is, there's no 17 year old who is in the seniors.
Okay.
True. I think, yeah. So I think that wraps up boxing for us. Tanvi has been very vocal about talking about squash, but unfortunately, we do not have. Any names. Again, very similar to swimming. As a career, apart from Saurav and Deepika and Joshna, nobody's like really made a career out of it.
It's a rich man's sport. So I guess funds to start with, or it's just looked at, as a rich man's sport. So not many people start playing squash to begin with.
Yeah, but they do. So even
I don't think it's just about rich man sport. There are no squash courts. How do you play?
True.
Most
how many squash courts do we
have?
But again, it's
gymkhanas,
right?
How many can
afford
to be in the gymkhanas in Mumbai?
It's the membership rule,
that's
right?
True.
So you gotta be a member.
That is true.
There aren't like you got pay and play in Bangalore and Hyderabad, like badminton centers. You do not have pay and play squash centers, right? Where you can just go book a court and play.
But we don't have pay and play as a concept doesn't exist in a city like Bombay.
Yeah.
It's mainly gymkhanas.
I'm talking about badminton. And that's why Hyderabad and Bangalore has produced a lot of players because there are a lot of pay and play centers in Tamil Nadu, Hyderabad, Bangalore. We don't have the concept of pay and play anywhere. In India, I think.
No, Delhi has.
You have to be part of it.
Delhi has.
But again, very few, right? I mean, you've got Jindal, who's Jindal Academy, who's contributed a lot to squash. And then you've got Cyrus Ponchas players doing well from Tamil Nadu. But a lot of the players from Mumbai who do well eventually get into the Ivy League ladder and then somehow lose the drive to go pro or just do not... feel like they can make any money rather than having an alternate career in corporate and then choosing that. Apart from Saurav, but even if you look at Ramit Tandon, he's doing well. He's not doing that well. So who else, right?
Someone from like young, Mahesh. They've all decided to either make Egypt or somewhere in Europe as their base. But
Mahesh Mandalkar
really
is quite old. Yash Parte, Veer Chotrani are doing decently well. Thankfully, they have some sponsorships, so they are playing. But I am not really sure how long anybody will continue with the way. Like Saurav and Ritwik were two players who continued.
True.
With all the challenges. Even in women, there are only two women players who have been playing for the last 15 years.
That's true.
So, I think it is a bit difficult to say who will continue to play. The first challenge is who will continue to play, then who will succeed.
I mean, when we had Saurav and Deepika on one of the episodes, and I mean, one of the things they mentioned was that Egypt has been dominating squash because of the culture. It's like China and badminton. But unless we have these top players actually, start their academies or, stimulate that culture, it's not going to create, not going to come up without any stimulus.
I think, again, the same problem of coaching, no? Quality of coaching, basic coaching, everything starts there.
True.
We don't have that culture of coaching squash also.
Two of the bright players from Mumbai, Zoe Kagulkar and Navmi Sharma, eventually both getting into Ivy League colleges and again, you know, spending more time studying. I mean, they do play squash, but they've stopped playing any tournaments just because of the time that, because Ivy League education is also not easy to balance. But that is what, you know, squash is right now.
Yeah. I think we should look at athletics also, but again, you have a huge gap between Indians, but Athletic Federation is doing a lot better in terms of relays. So I think I am expecting from athletics with a Sri Shankar, who is a good long jumper, I hope athletics does well. Because if India has to do well, we need to do well in athletics and swimming.
Absolutely.
Neeraj Chopra, Hima Das.
I don't know whether Hima Das will continue with the kind of back injury she has.
She has.
Yeah, so yeah, Duti Chand. Then, I mean, you had Mohammad Anas, who was doing... But again, I don't think 100 meters is an event where...
An event for Indians.
Yes, we should not bother about sprints. We should not bother about sprints.
Absolutely.
You look at Jamaicans, you look at the Americans. There's
we
no
are
way, I don't
not
think...
not running people.
No, yeah. No, we are running people. I think in the middle distance and long distance, we can try something. I am actually hoping something from Avinash Salve, that he'll at least make it to the finals. In the 3000 meters triple chase.
That would be huge if he even make the finals.
I am hoping. Like last year we got a women's player to reach the finals.
Yeah.
Lalita Babar did that. I hope Avinash Sable does that.
Fair enough. I think that's a wrap. I think we've covered all sports. This just shows our...
conveniently not covered cricket.
Yeah, cricket, we don't need to talk about cricket because...
I think we'll have to then list some 100 names and then keep talking about them.
Then probably Varun and DJ will come and saying that please do not step into our territory because we are on the same network. So Edges and Sledges, we are not getting into cricket. That is your territory. And we don't want this to go on for next 2 hours. But the length of the episode just shows how much we love badminton, because the same duration we spoke for badminton and we could have gone on and on, but
it was badminton and both of you were so passionate that you wanted to speak about the system more than the athlete.
True that is, we are guilty for that. I think Tanvi and I have been you know, wherever we try to talk about players, we get in the system also. But yeah, we should have a chat about... we got a request from a fan page of Satvik on Twitter saying that he wants us to do an episode on grassroots coaches. So we will do that in the future. We are not going anywhere. We are always looking for content. But yeah, that's a wrap for today's episode. If you like this podcast, don't forget to check out other interesting podcasts on the IVM network. You can listen to them on the IVM podcast app or ivmpodcast.com. You can also follow IVM on their social media handle, that is @IVMpodcast on Twitter and Instagram. If you have any suggestions, please do send me a message or Tanvi on our Instagram or Twitter handles. My handle is @SHLOKH95.
And you can write to me on @TanviLad93 on Instagram and Twitter.
Once again, thank you, Abhijit, for being a part on this two episodes. We hope we can get you back for another episode talking about policy and a lot of sport.
Thank you, Ashok. Thank you, Tanvi.
Until then, ciao. We shall be back very soon with another fresh episode of The Mineral Athlete with Tanvi and Shlok. Thank you, everyone.
पेश खिदमत है आपकी शान में हमारे अंजुमन से. Hi, I am Sadaf.
And I am Arshit. खाने का इतिहास, economics, policy, psychology, सब है मेन्यू पर.
Only on the Nankali podcast every Wednesday, sirf IVM podcast app ya website par ya fir jahan se bhi aap apne podcast sunte ho.
Come learn and experience the ABCDs of being queer with me, Shunetro,
and me, Farhad,
on our show, Gay BCD.
The two of us take you through our stories and experiences of being gay men in the city of Mumbai and have candid
and sometimes downright scandalous
conversations about sexuality, gay culture, and everything in between.
Catch new episodes of Gay BCD every Tuesday on the IVM Podcasts website, app, or wherever you get all your podcasts from.